From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. And joining us now is Lori from the Park City Hospital. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sure you guys are pretty busy, so I really appreciate you taking time for a phone call here on The Mountain Life. And you are the hospital administrator. I can only imagine you are super busy. What does a normal day as a Park City administrator at the hospital look like?
You know, it differs from day to day. Your calendar usually isn't what really happens on a daily basis. You know, the departments are busy, and it's usually just getting the team what they need and making sure that things are running efficiently, our patients are being attended to, and everything is, you know, functioning as it should.
Well, that has probably been a logistical challenge with COVID and the number of people coming into the community. So big applause and kudos to you and your team. We are excited to hear that there is a new surgery center that will be in works. Ground was broke on the 15th last week. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're excited to be offering this new service to our community.
What was the impetus for having a surgery center here in Park City? I mean, there's quite a bit of facilities in Salt Lake, Provo, Utah County. Why do we need one up here?
You know, when Intermountain built a hospital here in our community, our commitment was to make sure that we were delivering safe, high-quality, lower-cost care to the community. A surgery center is a way that we can deliver that care in a more accessible and lower cost setting to our community members. We do a lot of orthopedics and highly shoppable procedures here at Park City Hospital. And nationally, the trend is really moving these outpatient services to a lower cost setting, which are in surgery centers. And that is really driven by our payers, consumers, and physicians' demand to be in a lower cost setting. The reimbursement in a surgery center is lower through our payers. Patients will pay lower deductibles in a surgery center, and also the overall total cost of that procedure will be lower to the patient, which will ultimately also bring down healthcare premiums in the future.
Well, that's really interesting. That was actually my next question, to really unweave that lower cost aspect. So the largest cost, is that correct, is the stay overnight?
That's part of the cost, yes, is when you have an overnight stay. As you look at, these procedures being done in a hospital setting, we've got a lot of expensive equipment. We're 24/7 staffed. And so the healthcare system isn't the best place to be able to offer, you know, these lower cost procedures. There's a lot of overhead that gets allocated to those types of procedures. And so by moving this into a lower cost setting where it's less overhead, we've got contracts with suppliers, and we're working closely with physicians on efficiencies and staffing, we're able to bring those costs down significantly for our patients.
Are in the hospital world, are in the medicine world, are they finding that smaller hospitals like Park City are more both cost effective and also care effective?
I would say they are just as cost and care effective as any other hospital that you would be going to. We are part, Intermountain, with Park City Hospital, we're part of a large system, right? So we're able to leverage the resources and efficiencies of being part of a large healthcare system, and also best practices. We're able to use care protocols that are done in all of our larger hospitals here in a smaller hospital as well. So you're receiving the same care here at Park City Hospital that you would receive in any one of our other hospitals in a bigger or smaller setting.
How also might this relate to capacity down at the Intermountain facility in Salt Lake? Are they at capacity where there's also a need to have these satellite surgery centers and larger hospitals that are growing in smaller communities?
Yes, you will see. The Intermountain has a surgical center strategy where we will be adding surgical centers as needed in some of these areas so we can offer low-cost procedures to those geographies.
Hmm. And I imagine for people who traditionally come from like Evanston or a little bit further away, that it shortens their drive by a half hour and you'll see an increased usage from outlying communities. Is that also the intention?
Yes, we already see that now here at Park City. We treat a lot of those outreach areas currently. They are coming to us for care for those services that we offer here.
So what is the difference? I mean, it's definitely a different clientele between, you know, you have a predominantly affluent and active community here in the Park City proper area, but then you also have very rural and remote communities. Is there any kind of differentiation in that service model because of different, well, let's say, injuries and so forth, that maybe they aren't returning home also?
No, really, a patient will work with their physician on what the best care plan is for them. And it really depends on the patient's health and where they are in their health care. If a patient is healthy enough and strong enough to be able to do the surgery and recover same day and go home, they will be able to do that. But that is something that will be evaluated by their physician on a case-by-case basis.
That's exciting. And what most of these procedures looked like in the list were orthopedics. So I imagine there's a relationship to our active lifestyles, mountain bikes, skis, so forth, hiking. Will there be a relationship with your orthopedics and your physical therapy Live Well Center also?
Yes, we will have a great integration of care there, where patients will be able to have their surgeries and then also be able to be set up with a recovery plan and get back to life or get back to sport plan, whatever their goals are. And they can do that easily through our rehab, Live Well, and sports performance centers that we have available on our hospital campus as well.
So where will that surgery center, I haven't seen where the groundbreaking was, where is that located?
The surgical center will be located in between the hospital and the Round Valley Clinic. It's right at the bottom of our parking lot there in the front by the roundabout.
Oh, okay. That's super convenient.
It is.
And will there be a shuttle taking people from the surgery center over to the physical therapy? Will they be able to jump right into physical therapy after surgery, or will they make them wait a little bit?
We start physical therapy right after surgery, and we do that now in the hospital. We get people moving right after surgery.
Yeah.
And so they should be able to be mobile after that. If there is a shuttle that is needed, we will provide that type of a service. We haven't got all of those details worked out yet, but we always make sure we get the patient what they need.
Right. The Park City tattoo is unfortunately that ACL surgery scar. And I had that a few times before.
It is.
Yeah, it's an honor to have one in Park City. I hope you don't have one. But
I have been able to avoid it so far. And I hope you didn't just jinx me. So
No. But one of the things for me was, you know, that immediacy that the doctors and the physical therapist said, you know, just to get right from surgery into PT. And it seems your whole hospital is being really intentional about that service model.
Right.
So what would you say as far as, like, you know, it's almost a full service continuum at this hospital now, which is, you know, been a pretty progressive growth despite COVID.
It is, and I think that COVID has also accelerated that to a certain extent as well. Patients really want a care plan, a health plan for each individual goal that they have, and they want to be able to go through that full spectrum in one place and know what that path is. And so we try to provide that integrative care where when you come in our door, you're able to navigate easily from one treatment plan to the next and then keep progressing until you've hit your goals. And we work with each patient on that.
That's amazing. How do you feel that COVID has accelerated that for the hospital?
I think that we've been able, especially when you think at it from a consumer standpoint, just like every sector in the nation is experiencing, you know, consumers are demanding better access, better quality of care, faster service, more convenient service, services at home. We've been able to do, especially with our physical therapy services during COVID, that's accelerated video visits and calling in and speaking with a doctor. And so it's just really provided a lot of avenues for patients with different lifestyles to access care remotely or in a hospital or clinic setting.
Now, as an administrator, that has to be, I can only imagine, a nightmare because of the individual aspects versus kind of a systematic service model. How, when you're purchasing supplies and you're, you know, doing all of that organization, how does one acquire, you know, whether it's individualized materials or just helping facilitate individualized care?
Well, I don't do it all on my own.
Okay.
And like I said, Park City Hospital is part of of the Intermountain system, right? And so we've got a great supply chain. We've got service line leaders and local managers that work closely together to deliver what that individualized patient needs. And so we, you know, all of these pieces work closely together to make sure we're delivering on the care that a patient is requiring. And yes, it is demanding, and it's something that you work on every day, and it changes every day, right? Mm. So you're continually improving and refining that care model.
And with things changing all the time, I'd love for you to, I guess we probably haven't heard your story of surviving through COVID and supply chain. Mm. What was that like in the beginning phases of trying to get, you know, PPI and all of the materials needed for the safety of both the hospital employees and the community? What was that like for you as an administrator?
You know, safety was our number one concern when COVID hit our county, the first one in Utah. And fortunately, being part of Intermountain and we've got a great supply chain, we did have the PPE that we needed. We didn't have a pandemic abundance of it, right? But we did have enough initially to get our caregivers and our patients protected. And a lot of that was restricting visitors in the hospital and, you know, closing services because we were limited on protective equipment in the initial stages of COVID. But then as, you know, as people started to get vaccines and suppliers were able to get on top of making more PPE, we worked very closely with Summit County Health Department, who also was being supplied with PPE from the state. And we all came together to make sure everybody had the PPE they needed to stay safe.
I'm... I imagine, like, you weren't like many of us in the community running to Walmart to get PPE or water or whatnot. You know, for you, it was working with those supply chains directly through Intermountain, not knowing if that was there. I'm sure that was nerve-wracking.
It was, and, you know, it's not, we had to, you know, there was, you know, your face masks, if they weren't soiled, you would reuse them or use them all day long. So it wasn't like we had an abundant supply that, and our N95 masks, we had to reprocess and clean those and then ship them back to the caregiver within a day. So it wasn't something where you could just throw away the N95 mask each day and get a new one. We would have to have them cleaned and brought back in because you couldn't get them in our facilities for a little while when COVID started because they were in such high demand. So it definitely was not without struggle, but we never went without PPE. And we had our PAPR machines. It's a mask with the oxygen that goes into the mask that we also used as protection as well.
It's amazing to see how professional and well-supplied our local hospital and systems are. How is that currently? I mean, what have you learned? And with the current uptick of COVID cases, what has changed in your world as far as whether it's supply chain or administration? What are kind of the nuances that you've taken away and you're seeing now?
Well, when COVID hit initially, you know, we were fully staffed and we had PPE, not as good a supply as we do now, but we had PPE. And we were also viewed, the team was also viewed as heroes, right? We were viewed as, you know, thank you so much for being here and taking care of me. And people were scared and very thankful. And as we transitioned, everybody was looking towards this vaccine as the cure-all. And that once we get this vaccine in, everything was going to change, right? And life was going to go back to whatever normal we were going to be at that time. But when the vaccine came, and we still have a lot of people that aren't vaccinated, and we still have a lot of people in our hospitals now that are sick with COVID, and over 90% of them are unvaccinated, we're not seeing that same feeling that we got at the initial. I mean, you know, people are tired of COVID, and Believe us, healthcare workers are just as tired of COVID and really wish it wasn't here as well. But we still go in day after day and take care of patients that are sick with this virus. And I think the thing that's hard are people view us as the enemy. We're still making people mask, and we're still making them wear their oxygen when they come in. And so the attitudes of our patients have changed a little bit to where they just want it over. They want to be done with COVID, and they view us as people that just kind of keep that going, you know, that COVID is still here. But it's very much here. Our hospitals are full with COVID patients right now. We have had to delay some inpatient surgeries over the last couple of weeks just so we have enough beds for people that do have COVID so we could admit and treat them. So, and we are short-staffed. We've lost, healthcare in general has lost a lot of nurses, just leaving the workforce and, you know, either retiring or just being so exhausted and burnt out from COVID that they don't want to do it anymore. And so we're not as fully staffed as we were when COVID first hit. And so staffing is a real challenge right now to be able to take care of normal operations in the hospital and for a surge in COVID patients as well. So that's a little bit of the difference between then and now.
And, you know, we hear about this employee or staffing shortage across the country in so many different sectors. But to hear it in the hospital and the medical sector is really heartbreaking. And you mentioned, you know, some are just retiring. Are we not seeing infiltration of new medical providers and nurses from the college systems and from trainings?
Where they're just not coming into the workforce as quickly and as in large numbers as we were before. I mean, we just have a smaller population that's coming into the workforce than we did, for example, when the baby boomers were in the workforce, right? And then you've got a lot of baby boomers that normally they would have worked another 5 to 10 years, but they're looking, you know, at that now in the work environment they're in and saying, you know, maybe it's a good time for me just to retire because this is hard and I don't want to get sick myself because you're in that at-risk age group if you do get COVID. And so a lot of people they're exiting, you know, the healthcare faster than we're getting people in. A lot of the healthcare workers that are being recruited right now are new residents. They're new to healthcare. They're just learning, and kudos to them for coming in at this time in healthcare and sticking with it, because it's a really hard time right now to be in healthcare.
Yeah, it is, and I've recently seen news where, you know, you bring up the topic of those who are in more at-risk age blocks, and there was that recent nurse who was unvaccinated and passed away, unfortunately. Are you seeing, you know, Park City Resort just required vaccination for all their employees? Is Intermountain looking into a required vaccination for all medical care providers?
I think we're all looking towards that and trying to find the best way to handle that. But it is something that is being discussed at a state level and within all of the healthcare systems here in Utah. And so I think it's probably something that we will get to. We're not there yet, but something we are looking at.
Is the hospital able to do anything, or can the community do anything on behalf of the medical care providers, you know, for that mental health? I mean, it seems like medical care providers have not had a break. You know, there were lulls in COVID, but, you know, many of us, whether it was, you know, in the service industry or in retail, have been able to take like a vacation. But medical care providers, there's not been a time to do that. Is there something that the hospital's like, hey, you know what, flowers every day from the community, or volunteer nurses, you know, is there something that the community could do or that the hospital's looking into?
I think that the number one request that you would hear from our medical staff is get vaccinated. That's what you can do for them, because if you're vaccinated, you're not coming into the hospital. And that would be the number one thing that you could do. And that's something that is available and it's free and it's going to protect you and your neighbors and your family and the healthcare workers. That's the number one thing that you could do. And then the second is just to be kind when you're, you know, not only just to healthcare workers, but in general. I think people are stressed right now, because COVID has impacted not only their work life, but their home life. And everybody's mental health right now is impacted. And so, but yeah, I would say vaccines, being kind, and thanking them when you see them. I mean, just to hear thank you, it goes a long way for our healthcare workers.
Right. Like, if we could just take a moment, go back to being kind and being compassionate and a little less frustrated. And then a great suggestion, is the hospital still providing, I know this is going to sound like a dumb question, but is this hospital still providing vaccines? Can someone just walk up today and they hear your plea and go get a vaccine?
We aren't doing them right now at the hospital because of the way you have to administer the vaccine. When you open up a vial, there's 10 doses in there. And so we would need to be running clinics. Vaccines are available at the health department that are right there on our campus, and you can walk in and get a vaccine from the health department or any of your local pharmacies. You can walk in and get a vaccine same day. So they're abundantly available. We are in discussions with the health department on potentially delivering booster vaccines when those become available. We're working with them on how those clinics will work and how we will distribute those. And there'll be more to come on that in the next few weeks. But right now, we don't offer vaccines to the general public. We are looking at if you come in and you're in the ER or on one of our inpatient units, we may be able to offer the vaccines in the near future. But right now, we're not doing that.
Well, thank you so much, Lori, for joining us. Really appreciate you taking a significant portion of your time to chat with us and give us an update both on the surgery center and vaccines. Have a great day, Lori, okay?
Thank you for the opportunity. You as well.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.